So thank you again for joining us as we celebrate Easter this morning. This is a holiday that the church celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The day that Jesus came out of the grave, came back to life. We believe this. We believe that this is true. He really is alive. Art Rayner posts this often online, not just at Easter. He posts it usually at least once a week, sometimes more often than that. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything about today. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything about today. And we need to remember that every single day, not just in the few days leading up to Easter and a few days after, but every single day. Because our Savior is living, that changes things. And so what I want us to do is we look at what Scripture says about the resurrection of Jesus in our passage today. I want us to consider how that hope changes things for us, what it means for us that Jesus is alive, that he really did come out of the grave, living and breathing, heart pumping 2,000 years ago about. What does that mean for us? What hope does that bring us? So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read one of the resurrection accounts. Our sermon is titled Resurrection Hope. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he is indeed going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning. They are always a blessing to gather with the church. But Easter Sunday, as we are reminded again of our risen Savior and the hope that we have, the life that we have because of Jesus, fill us with awe, fill us with joy, fill us with belief, and change us for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So just to the first few verses here from this text, just to kind of set the scene of who's there and what's taking place. Now, on Friday of Holy Week, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified. He died and was buried. He was actually dead. And they put his body in a tomb. And they covered the tomb with a large stone. And Scripture says in another account that on Saturday of that week, the Jews who had turned him over to the Romans to crucify him were worried that his followers might try to come and steal his body and make up some extravagant lie. And so they convinced Rome to send soldiers to guard the tomb. And soldiers were there, and the tomb was sealed up, and soldiers stood watch to make sure that nobody took the body of Jesus Christ. And then that takes us to Easter morning. So let's look back at these first four verses of Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, so this is Saturday, the day of rest for the Jews. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, that's Sunday morning, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. So we have two women, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, who were going to the tomb. Another gospel account, I believe it's Luke's account, says that they were going to prepare his body. So Jesus was taken off of the cross late Friday, and with not much time to prepare his body for the grave before the Sabbath, he was placed in the tomb, and these women wanted to go after the Sabbath and help finish preparing his body for burial. And so these two women go to the tomb, and we read that God sent an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and a violent earthquake took place. The earth shook, and the angel rolled back the stone. Now, this is not to let Jesus out of the grave. He was already gone. We see scripture accounts that Jesus, in his resurrected body, which was really flesh and blood, had the ability to walk through walls in other accounts. So this wasn't because Jesus was in there waiting for someone to let him out. He was already gone. The reason that the stone was rolled back was so that people could see in and see the fact that Jesus was no longer there. And the angel, it says, shone like lightning. A warrior of light. Terrifying scene. So much so that it says the soldiers who were guarding the tomb essentially became in like a catatonic state. Frozen with fear, the scripture says they became like dead men because of the scene that was taking place before them. And then we're going to skip ahead to verse 6. This is going to be the central verse. It's going to be the reason we celebrate this morning and every morning. The angel tells the women this: he's not here, for he has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. This is why we have hope, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He came back to life, and he is still living, and that is gives us hope if we are in Christ, and it offers hope to you if you do not have a relationship with Christ, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it truly does, as Art Rainer says, changes everything about today. The fact that Jesus is alive changes everything. And so from this text, what I want us to do is work our way through some of these verses and just see how it changes, what it does for us, church, what it offers to you, what's available to you if you have not believed in him yet. And so the first of these things from this text that resurrection hope does for us is this. Resurrection hope destroys fear. Resurrection hope destroys fear. Let's look at verse 5 again. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Don't be afraid. Now, the followers of Jesus, all of them, including these women, have been terrified for the last several days. They were terrified at his arrest and the news of his arrest. They were terrified at his trial. They were terrified at his crucifixion, because the one that they had put their hope in was being killed. And they were also likely terrified because what that meant for them. They were devoted followers of this man who was being executed. What threat does that pose for them? So they were already terrified, and then these women see the angel of the Lord at the tomb, with the tomb opened up. And it was a terrifying scene. So much so, remember, the guards, frozen in fear, looked as if they were dead because they were so afraid. But the angel, because he has a message for them, the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear. I know this is terrifying, all of it. Don't be afraid." These faithful women, which is amazing that they were the ones to first hear the message of the resurrection. In that world, the testimony of a woman was not allowed to be presented as evidence. So the fact that the first message to these women was, "He's alive," is significant. Scholars point out that if this was something that the followers of Jesus were trying to just make up, they would have never chosen for the first women to hear this message and to then share this message for it to be women, because of the culture of the day. So these women are told, you don't have to be afraid. The good news of Jesus' resurrection, the fact that he sat up and came out of that grave and is alive, changes everything. It destroys fear for the followers of Jesus. That's what resurrection hope still does for us as believers of Jesus. On the final night that Jesus was with his disciples, he talked to them about not being afraid concerning the circumstances, knowing what was about to happen to him. In John's gospel, this is the night of his arrest before he was arrested in the garden. John chapter 14, we read these words in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." He's about to be arrested and then executed. And Jesus' words to his followers are, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you peace." And then skipping ahead to chapter 16, still in this conversation with them, John 16 and 33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." Be courageous. I have conquered the world. And the fact that he rose from the grave 3 days later is proof that he has conquered and is why we can be courageous. Jesus' victory over death offers us peace if we are his followers. It really can help us combat fear in our lives, no matter what the circumstances are. There's a scene in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, one of the Chronicles of Narnia books by C.S. Lewis. And in that scene, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Lucy is in a dark place where nightmares actually come true. And in that scene, we read this, Lucy, terrified, says, "Aslan, Aslan, if you ever loved us at all, send us help now. If you ever loved us at all, send us help now." The darkness didn't grow any less, but she began to feel a little, a very, very little better. And as the story goes on in the next page, an albatross comes and circles and guides the ship through the darkness. And we read this, "No one except Lucy knew that as it circled the mast, it had whispered to her, 'Courage, dear heart.' And the voice she felt for sure was Aslan's." Resurrection hope, church, destroys fear. When circumstances are terrifying, when you are afraid, when the darkness seems all too oppressive, take these words: "Don't be afraid. He's not here, for he is risen," as a whisper from our precious Savior saying, "Courage, dear heart." This world is terrifying at times. It could be a diagnosis. It could be your own personal circumstances. It could be the circumstances of this entire world that are terrifying. And so, church, let's fight fear with the hope we have because Jesus is alive. The second thing for us from Matthew's gospel concerning resurrection hope is this. Resurrection hope reminds us that Jesus keeps his word. Resurrection hope reminds us that Jesus keeps his word. Let's look back at verse 6. So the angel of the Lord is speaking to the two Marys, the women who were there. He told them, "Don't be afraid." And then in verse 6, "He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." He's not here. You're in the wrong place. He's not here. He is risen. And the words for us to focus on there are this: just as he said. He told them that this was going to happen. There were five times just in Matthew's gospel that we have recorded Jesus saying that he was going to rise from the dead. One of them was an indirect quote, but he was talking about the story of Jonah, which if you remember the story of Jonah, he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and then came out alive on the other side. And Jesus referenced that, saying, "This is what's going to happen to me." That was the indirect reference. And then there were four direct references in Matthew's gospel where he told his disciples, "I am going to suffer. I am going to die, but on the third day, I'm not going to stay dead. On the third day, I will rise from the grave." He kept his word. And if Jesus can keep that word, to come back from the dead, to rise from the grave, if he can keep that word, we can be certain that he will keep every promise, every word that he gave to us, church. Here are a few of those from John's Gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. That's a promise from the Lord, our Savior, that if we come to him, he will never grow weary of us. He will never grow tired of us. He will never say, "That's enough, I'm done with you." He will never cast us out. John 14 and verse 3, "If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." He is preparing a place for us, church. He will come back for us, church. He will take us to be with him for eternity. And if Jesus Christ, which he did, rose from the grave, we can be certain that there's not a single promise that he can't keep, and there's not a single promise that he won't keep. And in between those days, we have the promise that he will be with us always. You may feel alone at times, but we will never be alone if we are in Christ Jesus. And there are so many more promises. There are so many more words from our Lord that we can be sure of, because Jesus got up from the grave. So let's hold on to the fact that we have a promise-keeping Savior, church. And when we have doubts and fears and worries, let's hold on to this. Let's let that reality settle us as we face doubts, as we face discouragements of this life, that Jesus will keep his words. And the third and final thing I want us to see from this text today is this: resurrection hope gives us a message to share. Resurrection hope gives us a message to share. So often people wonder, "I don't know what the Lord has for me. I don't know what the Lord wants from me." We have a message to share, church. Let's look back at verses 7 through 10 in Matthew 28. The angel, still speaking to the women, says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." So the angel tells the women, after he's comforted them and says, "You don't have to be afraid," and after he's told them the great news, Jesus has come back to life just as he said, he now tells them, "Go and tell the others. Share the good news with others." And quickly, with fear and great joy, they rush off. And then in the kindness of the Lord, he comes to them, the women first. He comes to these faithful women and greets them so that they will know, they don't have to wonder as they're running off. And he too gives them the same message. "Don't be afraid. I want you to go share this news with others. Tell the other followers where they can see me." The news of our Savior conquering death is news to share. It's news to give other people. And it's part of the Great Commission. It's what the Lord told His church later on. This wasn't just, hey, tell the disciples, because then He's going to tell all the disciples that He sees, I want you to share this message with the whole world. And so in Luke's Gospel, in Luke 24, verse 45 through 48, we read this. Verse 45. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He also said to them, this is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The followers of Jesus are witnesses. They are to testify that this took place. We believe that this actually happened. Does it make sense in this world? Absolutely not. But we have a Savior that can conquer death and did conquer death. And we are to tell others that this took place and that if they would repent from their sins and turn to Jesus, they would be saved. They would have hope because this is real. They would be forgiven. So, church, we have a message to share. Forgiveness and life and hope are available to this world because we have a living Savior. So would you share that good news with people in your life today? Let's not keep the good news to ourselves. Now, if you're here today and you have not believed in this Savior, if you've never trusted in the Savior, if you've never asked God for the forgiveness of your sins, we want you to know that this hope is available to you too. It's available because of what Jesus Christ did. And if you would turn from your sin and turn to God and ask for forgiveness, if you would believe in Jesus Christ, Scripture says you will be forgiven. You will be adopted into the family of God, and you will live the rest of your life with the hope that Jesus accomplished for us when He came out of the grave. And so if you have questions about that today, I'd love to be able to speak with you. You can see me after the service. I'll stick around and be glad to talk with anybody who wants to know more about this. Church, for us, Jesus is alive today. And that changes everything. When circumstances are terrifying, when you're overwhelmed with fear from whatever you're facing, remember these words. Jesus is alive. He is risen, just as He said. We don't have to be afraid. When circumstances feel hopeless because of what you're facing, and you're doubting the promises of God, remember these words. Jesus is alive. He is risen, just as He said. He's going to keep His word, church. And when you want to know the work that the Lord has for you, remember these words. Jesus is alive. He is risen, just as He said. And then take that message and share it with others. Let's pray. God, You are good and faithful. We thank You for the reminder today of our living Savior. We praise You today because of the hope we have. We praise You today because death has been defeated. Help us cling to this hope. Help us live lives changed because of this hope. Use us for Your glory, God. And I do pray, Lord, if there are any here who are not sure about their relationship with You, that they would be stirred in their hearts to ask questions about what is available to them because of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.